when I say that this is the most important information that is being withheld from you on the planet, I was not exaggerating. Hold on to your helmets, guys. This is incredibly disturbing. It starts with something that I started to cover back on February 2nd, where I'd uncovered a press conference held by the Department of Defense on January 23rd of 2023. That is only a couple of weeks ago, guys. That's what this article is about, and it details all of the documents and information receipts that Catherine Watt made available, and several others is included in that article. That is something that I found first, and you're going to find what you're going to see next is going to be incredibly disturbing. Put on your helmets, make sure you've got a good solid seat, and let's get started, because we're going to start with a conference that was held in Stockholm on the 21st and the 22nd of 2023. So this is 2 days and the day before the Department of Defense issued their press conference in the United States, basically in response, I guess, to what you're going to hear next. All of these links, again, will be made available in a publication that I have to publish in the United States, because you know what's happening to me here in Canada. So I will be publishing this on What's Up Canada and yournews.com. Immediately after the show, I will start publishing that. But here we go. Hold on. This is where it gets real. This is a lady named... let me pull this up here. Sonia Latipova. She's a former medical device research and development executive in Big Pharma. She knows what she's talking about. Listen to her testimony. In the article I just referenced, you can hear Catherine Watt's testimony. Now you're going to hear Sasha's.
Thank you very much, and thank you for all of you attending. I'd like to say as an introduction, I'm a private citizen. I left the industry. I wasn't working in it. I didn't want to, and I became very concerned, and I started my own investigation because I recognized my own government was lying to me, and the health officials who I previously trusted and respected were telling outright lies, and so I wanted to find out for myself. I started, my initial investigation was into, as Jonathan, and we actually exchanged emails with Jonathan for a while on this topic, it was into the good manufacturing practice compliance in relation to these products. Just for you to understand what good manufacturing practice means in the practice, it applies to drugs and it applies to food and other mass-produced products that are consumed. And for example, if you're buying your favorite beer today and then you go to the to buy it again a week from now or a month from now, your experience is the same. It shouldn't be a thousand times different experience. The same goes for medicines like aspirin that you buy in a pharmacy. And again, you don't expect it to be a thousand times different a week from now versus today. That's why everywhere in the developed world, most of the world, we have what's called good manufacturing practices. And as a highly regulated industry, pharmaceutical manufacturers are supposed to comply with them. And this means that the product that they claim that they make, with the ingredients that they claim that they make, is supposed to be in every vial, every shot, every pill, over and over and over again, and they should be almost identical to each other. So that was my first investigation. And what I first found, and this was my first few months of investigation, was evidence of very bad manufacturing practices indeed with relation to these mRNA injections. And to set myself a baseline of what a vaccine product similar product should look like, I looked first at the VAERS, which is a vaccine adverse event reporting system of CDC, and I looked at historical flu vaccines. This is data for 30 years that exists in the database. There are dozens of manufacturers manufacturing thousands and thousands of lots of this product in the U.S. About 50% of the population gets the flu shot. By the way, here I'm not endorsing flu vaccines or any vaccines anymore, because until this is investigated fully, nobody should be taking anything.
Until this is investigated fully, nobody should be taking anything.
That's my professional opinion. But just to... But just to give you an idea of what historically typical vaccine would look like, and this is, as I said, data for 30 years, dozens of manufacturers. As you can see, it doesn't vary a lot. All the adverse events on the vertical axis, these are serious adverse events and deaths reported per each lot, which is just arranged on the horizontal axis. You can see that they vary very little. Somewhere under 10 reports, there are very, very few deaths here. And the maximum we ever found was 37 per lot, and those were just two outliers in the whole historic period. So when I looked at the same exact graph for mRNA injections for the U.S., I found this. And here, the whole flu data set sits below that red line. Okay.
Every bit of data that she showed in the first graph is below that red line. This red line, this graph only contains the latest injections.
And even visually, you can see that there are three different manufacturers here. You shouldn't be able to see that. They're claiming it's the same product. So we see Janssen, Moderna, and Pfizer. As you can see, there were lots that had almost no adverse events reported. And see, I'm again only looking at serious adverse events and deaths. There were almost no adverse events reported in some lots, and some lots had thousands, and they had hundreds of deaths. And so this is not good manufacturing practice compliant product at all, not even close. And then we later found out the sizes of the lots, adjusted by the size of the lot, by the number of the doses. The story doesn't change. The picture doesn't change. They still have variations 1,000 times lot to lot. And here's another view, similar, but here I'm just looking at Moderna. On the horizontal axis is all the lots with date of manufacture, by date of manufacture, and then on the vertical axis in blue, it's serious adverse events, and orange, it's deaths. It's very, again, bizarre. A well-manufactured product should not look like this at all. Another point I want to make is these products were mass rolled out in the U.S. Starting somewhere late December, early January 2021. On January 18th, Orange County, California Health Department flagged this particular lot of Moderna for what they called excessive number of allergic reactions. Nothing was done about it. The injections were not stopped. In fact, this lot was being sold all over the United States until it ran out in late March. And as you know, if there's salmonella in salad, they will recall the entire product from all the shelves in the country, right? That's what you should do as a manufacturer.
For 4 months.
All manufacturers have systems to detect this. And majority of recalls of products are voluntary because they don't want this to happen. Yet here, nobody stopped, not the manufacturer, not the health authorities of Orange County, not the CDC, FDA, whoever was supposed to monitor this. They continued selling this lot. It's now associated with over 65 deaths in the U.S. and over 3,000 serious adverse events. So after something like this happens, everything that follows is intentional.
That, to me, is a bombshell. In March, just months after they were started to release this garbage, they knew everything after that is intentional.
And I would like to, you know, everybody at this point, people were asking, why are the regulators not acting? So they see all this data. I'm not the only one. I've collaborated with a number of people who wrote the same great analysis. Jessica Rose wrote numerous analyses on various data. There are hundreds of researchers literally looking at that data set and, you know, screaming at CDC, why don't you do anything about it? Yet they look back at us and they say, we looked at it, it's safe and effective, go get vaccinated. That's the answer everyone receives. So why? Why were they all behaving this way, and why authorities in Europe behave in exact same way? In South Africa, exact same way. Australia, exact same way. Why are they all following the same script? What I found, ultimately, I met this wonderful legal researcher, Catherine Watt. She writes amazing Substack. It's called Bailiwick News. And her legal research really filled that question and that puzzle. And so what we now jointly collaborate on is revealing the structure, the pseudo-legal structure. It's not lawful. They made it legal on paper only, of this criminal cartel, of government, pharma, military, criminal cartel, and it actually is operating all over the world. So the first, I'm now kind of talking about the U.S.-based structure, but it does extend all over the world. So in the U.S., they used emergency use authorization. They kind of perverted that law that was put in place in 97. It was, at the time, very narrowly defined for only conditions that didn't have alternative treatment and only very severe ones. So, but they started using it very broadly, and as far as I know, now almost hundreds of products have been emergency use authorized without any evidence of emergency. They just go ahead and roll over everyone and just saying, oh no, this is emergency, we can authorize it, and no safety or efficacy testing applies. In addition to that, and this is what is less understood by everyone, is that the Department of Defense in the U.S. ordered all these COVID products, which includes vaccines, but also includes therapeutics, monoclonal antibodies, diagnostics, even masks and staffing. And so there is the whole huge spending ordering these so-called COVID countermeasures under this contracting framework. It's called Other Transaction Authority. It was put in place in the 60s only for NASA, and now 11 federal agencies use it. Department of Defense is a particular huge user of this contracting method because it allows them to contract without following any federal procurement rules and regulations, with a lot of secrecy, and they can specifically order products from otherwise regulated industries such as pharma without following any regulations, and also without even disclosing IP and things like that. So it's a lot of secrecy. They typically use this framework to order weapons from defense contractors. But now they're using the same framework to order what they tell us is a pharmaceutical product. And finally, all this structure clicks into place when HHS secretary or the Department of Health and Human Services in the U.S. declares a pandemic or a public health emergency. And of course, they declared it immediately after the WHO declared it, based on 40 cases in 8 billion people in the world. So they just decided it's time to declare a pandemic, and in the U.S. they declared public health emergency. So when all of this comes in play together, what happens is there is this interesting law in the U.S. This particular U.S. code is cited here, which says that the use of emergency use authorized countermeasures is not a clinical investigation under public health emergency. That explains why they need to extend the public health emergency in perpetuity, because that allows them to implement this crime. And
this should now make sense to so many other things that are making us wonder why. This, although oriented towards Canada, as she said early on, it's happening everywhere. Now we know why.
The significance of this is that if countermeasure is not, it cannot be a clinical investigational product, then no pharmaceutical regulation applies to these products. So here's the lie that our government told to us and told to the world, and the governments all over the world repeated to their citizens. They were claiming that it's a health event. They were claiming that they're producing pharmaceutical products to the good manufacturing standards when they perfectly well knew, I assure you, they were all aware of this. They perfectly well knew that no pharmaceutical regulations apply to these things, countermeasures. So this word countermeasure is a very interesting word. It's a very fluffy definition. There's no real definition. If somebody attacks me, I pick up a rock and throw at them. That's a countermeasure. So anything can be a countermeasure. It's just a category of things. And so, but once they designate them as such, they're no longer pharmaceuticals. They're just lying to you that these are pharmaceuticals. They're actually not. Now, in the U.S. also, the government lied to us about this being a health event to begin with. When they told us it's a global pandemic, it's a virus from a wet market, in reality what they did, they organized the response to it as if it was war. So in the U.S., National Security Council was put in charge of COVID pandemic response. National Security Council is advisory body to the U.S. President, and it consists of defense heads and intelligence heads mostly. No healthcare representatives on it. Yet for some unknown reason, it became in charge of a so-called health event. And what's even more important, and I'm using their own slides. These are not my slides. These are from the U.S. government, Department of Defense, BARDA, and Operation Warp Speed. So here's the slide from Operation Warp Speed presentation, where they discuss the organizational structure of this effort. And it's interesting. It's an org chart, and it's turned on the side. So as you can see, the...
Anybody else noticing that there's no doctors, health professionals, or medical representation? None?
Who is in charge of this operation? The chief operating officer is the Department of Defense. We were told, oh, they're just, you know, doing logistics. No, they're not just doing logistics. They're running the whole thing. And HHS here is chief science advisor. And now you can see also the whole structure on the top layer here, it's executive structure. It's all U.S. government, National Security Council, Department of Defense, BARDA, and they're doing everything. They're doing all these functions that normally pharmaceutical companies are very sensitive about. They normally need to design their clinical trials themselves, safety monitoring themselves, all that. But here it's government is doing it for them. They're designing clinical trials. They're, in fact, even hiring the contractors, like a clinical contract research organizations to run them. They have legislative affairs, so they're interacting with Congress on their behalf. And they have an Office of General Counsel, which is the Department of Justice, defending them. In fact, when, you know, there was this famous case where Pfizer, or it was said that Pfizer or FDA didn't want to release clinical trial data for 75 years. Well, who was arguing in court on behalf of Pfizer? Pfizer lawyers were not even in the room. It was the Department of Justice.
The government.
So why is U.S. government defending presumably a private commercial interest of a pharmaceutical company? So here you can see that the pharmaceutical companies are a third level down. They're not in charge, but they're getting tremendous amounts of money to shut up and follow the orders and do as they're told. But the whole operation is run by the Department of Defense and the U.S. government. I'm not absolving pharmas, by the way, of any responsibility. They're criminals in this cartel, and they're collaborating, and they're co-conspirators and should be prosecuted together. But as Dr. Malone actually mentioned, and I completely agree, here we have an implemented model of fascism. This is how it's done.
Literally, this is what we've been screaming. This is fascism being implemented through fear and terrorism.
Government merges with private corporations. You can't even say who's you know, wagging the dog, but they're merged. And then they're extending this liability to the private commercial entities from which they then extract commercial interest or whatever interest they want to extract.
Private public partnerships, this is how they've done it.
So my question is, who is really manufacturing these injections? Well, again, in the same presentation, Operation Warp Speed and BARDA were bragging about their vaccine manufacturing portfolio. And you can see that on the right-hand side, they call it vaccine supporting efforts. These are all established defense contractors. The contracts for these were released through FOIA, and they go back to at least 2012, maybe earlier. And all of these are established defense contractors who already had established a vaccine manufacturing base. And at that time, it was called pan-influenza. In early 2020, they simply switched to COVID. On the left-hand side, they call these vaccines. But read the words carefully. They're telling you the truth. On this side, it's called demo. All of them say demo. That's what the government ordered, a demonstration, which is fake by definition. On the right-hand side is the manufacturing. These are the companies who are really making these products. Another slide from about a year ago, also from BARDA, from their public event. And here they're bragging about how much money they spent very quickly. So it's, you know, US government prints the money, throws it from the helicopter. Here we have $500 million for one company, $2 billion for another company, $1 billion here, $2 billion there. You know, they spent, you know, $4-5 trillion on this. And on the right-hand side, you can see what they bought for these billions. Again, a whole bunch of demonstrations. These are not, they're very carefully, these words are very carefully designed. They have legal meaning. And that's what they bought. They bought demonstrations. They spent $47 billion.
So the government spent billions and billions and billions of dollars ordering demonstrations and manifesting the action, the problem, the reaction, and the solution, and then foisted this upon an entire unsuspecting society. The governments did.
And then again, BARDA is bragging about their achievements. $33 billion went to vaccines. This is just for the R&D for these contracts. You know, as you can see, they funneled a huge amount of money through this. These are all the contracts. They're publicly available. There's a link here. This is just a screenshot. There are about 400 contracts there. As you can see, all of them say DOD. Department of Defense contracted these companies. That's how the money was spent. Robert Kudlick himself allocated it to his friends to make sure.
In America, whoever holds the Department of Defense to account, you might want to start gathering by the millions and start demanding some answers.
It's managed through a manager, Advanced Technologies International, which is the first line here. Here's Advanced Technologies International. It seems very healthcare related to me. And they're longstanding DOD manager of contracts, and they manage it again through OTA. I circled it up there. So other transaction authority. The contracts themselves, I'm not going to go through detail, but they're extremely, micromanaging in terms of operations, how things are going to be done. They exempt everyone who participates in this, regardless of where they're working. As long as they're following the orders, they're exempt from liability under PREP Act clause. That same PREP Act clause states that this is dual-use civil and military application product. Now, for the international, that's how they exempt themselves internationally, is Pfizer forced the countries, or negotiated with Ursula, specifically by text, to sign these predatory contract clauses where the local governments have to lift good manufacturing practice requirements or any drug importation requirements and look the other way. And in fact, if you citizens get injured and then you sue Pfizer in Sweden, then Swedish government has to indemnify them and put state assets such as military bases, embassies, and other state assets as a collateral. So somebody asked me, why would a private pharma manufacturer want a military base overseas? And I said, well, that's because it's the US government who wants that base, not the private commercial manufacturer. They also remove essentially national sovereignty by prohibiting the country from changing their own national laws with regard to the pharma liability.
Remember how we had this wonderful Emergency Measures Act, and thanks to the COVID, they immediately rewrote that and changed it all to amend to what these guys' demands were. Coincidence? We wondered why. Now we know.
They also, while they're saying that, you know, if the product is non-conforming, it's basis for, you know, dissolution of this contract, they also prohibit testing of product on importation.
Prohibit testing of product. Sounds safe and effective to me.
So to date, nobody still knows what's in those vials. Like, they didn't know at the time of the approval. They still don't know. We still have that variability between the batches. We still know that there are clustering of deaths in some geographies, and some others totally seem to be fine. So we still do not know what's happening with the product itself. And here's just to show you a couple of these contracts. Pfizer, I just want to emphasize the scale, the scope of the proposal for this contract is large-scale vaccine manufacturing demonstration. The specific clause here about the scope of the project specifically says that preclinical, clinical trials, chemistry manufacturing controls, which is all of those compliance issues and regulatory compliance, are out of scope of this product. The government never bought it, the government never ordered it, never gave them money for it, and there is no way to enforce it because they also absolved them from all liabilities through the PrEP clause. A Moderna contract is just showing you that, sorry, it's a small language, but it gives them PrEP Act clause liability protection, and this is both civil and military application. And so what really happened here is that vaccine development and approval, what were they doing when doing this? Well, what they doing, they were play acting. They never had to follow those regulations by law that they wrote themselves. It's an illegal law. It's not lawful. It's not constitutional, but they made it legal on paper that they don't have to do them. Yet they went and had ahead and did them in collaboration with FDA and CDC and all other agencies. And that was just to convince you, the public, that it really is a pharmaceutical product where it actually is not. The clinical trials were never ordered. The good manufacturing practice compliance was never ordered. And, you know, legally speaking, there were never even clinical trial subjects or investigators, because if you cannot have an investigational product, then there is no investigation. So FDA leadership and then global regulatory leadership, what they did, they impersonated the regulators so that you fall for this lie and go get injected.
Quote unquote experts.
And finally, Pfizer already invoked this in their as a legal defense. There, you know, if you maybe heard about Brooke Jackson's case in the U.S., she's suing Pfizer under False Claims Act that they defrauded the government. Well, Pfizer already filed motion to dismiss. The case hasn't been dismissed yet, but Pfizer already in court stated that, please dismiss this case, judge. We did not defraud the government. We delivered the fraud that the government ordered.
Hear that, folks? I'm going to see if I can pull that up, that part again, up just again, just that part. Because that is the boom.
But Pfizer already in court stated that, please dismiss this case, judge. We did not defraud the government. We delivered the fraud that the government ordered.
I don't know what to tell you guys about that. I'm still processing that, how to digest that. So literally, the pharma companies, Pfizer's defense is, we didn't do anything wrong. We gave you exactly what you ordered. You wanted a demo for a product and then enforced that demo product across the entire planet based on orders and strategy and initiatives by the Department of, controlled by the Department of Defense, enforced by the Department of Justice, and then implemented upon entire societies. That's what they are literally telling you people. When I say that this is the most important information that is being withheld from you on the planet, I was not exaggerating in my limited opinion. And we, a couple of final points before I get you guys out of here, that are incredibly relevant to this. If you guys have caught the news about literally James O'Keefe from Project Veritas being now attempted to violently be removed from his own company, that why is that happening? That's not happening by coincidence, guys. That is not an accident. He is breaking the news on this, and it's not Pfizer that's taking the fall for this. It's going to be the Department of Defense. So this is why every alphabet agency in the country now is going to be turning on James O'Keefe to try and silence Pfizer, because Pfizer will throw the Department of Defense under the bus. They will throw the Department of Justice under the bus. This is the biggest non-covered story on the planet right now, and we have to stand up for James O'Keefe on this. We really do, because if we do not, and we do not force this into the public space, you guys have seen here tonight, today, how badly they have censored me. I should have 20,000 people watching this video, and I've got 300. Thank you for the 300. 300 made an impact and changed history once before. Let's do it again today. Because the final thing I'm going to leave you with, guys, is a post that I created based on this information a couple of days ago when I started to realize the magnitude of what this is. We all have a question we have to ask ourselves. Is it a revolution if your nation's government has already been captured by an unelected foreign operatives who have then tasked your nation's military industrial complex, if they've sicked your military on you with the means to wage premeditated, unrestricted warfare on your own unsuspecting population, and the people stand up to resist, are they engaged in self-defense or revolution? Because they are coming at every last one of us very, very hard. Very, very hard. And in here, you'll see Catherine Watt's initial testimony and response to the DOD press conference. You'll find the link to the entire press conference, which is almost 3 hours. Get onto my website, guys, at whatsupcanada.org. That's the best place to get a hold of all of this stuff. It's printed, documented there. The videos are there. Get subscribed on LGM. And that's all I wanted to cover today, guys. This is something that is going to depend on us to make sure that the world knows and make this undeniable.